Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is God's Purpose Ministry, where I am your servant host every week, Pastor Olivia DeLoach. God bless you on this 19th day of September. And what a beautiful, wonderful day that it is, no matter where you at or what going on. Why? Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice. Come on now, and be glad in Him. Let me tell you, that was a good place to holler. Thank you. That's a good place to say hallelujah, glory to His name, for we give Him honor and we give Him praise. Well, beloved, it's another week. September will be coming out soon, and in rushing in October, and the end of the year is just a few months away. But this day, that's what say. This day is the day that the Lord has made, and we are part of it, and that's why we need to be excited. Well, we're going to continue, I said this month, we're going to continue out of breaking generational curses, and last week was a very good week of talking about curses, how that we can bring them on us, and it was spoken curses, how we can speak on them. But tonight, we're going to talk about stronghold, the manifestations of stronghold. And we want to start off with the one that deals with anger. As I always say, beloved, get your pad, get your pen, get your paper, your device or whatever, because I want you to always take down scripture. Don't take it from me. Go back and read it. Go back and meditate. Go back and steep on it, as my pastor used to tell me, and get it for yourself, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm going to skip a chapter or two between this, because I want to be able to touch base on something else, because these, they would join hand in hand. But before we get started, beloved, we just thank and praise God for who He is. We ask Him tonight that He come in and saturate our heart, unstop our deaf ears, open up our minds, give us revelation knowledge, and we give Him glory and we give Him honor, and forgive us of anything that would keep us or separate us from Him or hearing Him. Amen, amen. Now, before I go, you know I like to try to do a declaration, and this is my declaration tonight, and I hope you join along with me. Oh, I don't know why I'm getting so tight-tongued. But anyway, I declare I am a people builder. I will look for opportunities to encourage others to bring out the best in them and to help them accomplish their dream. I will speak words of faith and victory, affirming them, approving them, letting them know they are valued. I will call out their seeds of greatness, helping them to rise higher and become all that God created them to be. This is my declaration. Amen, amen. Yes, it's good to call greatness in others. It's good to edify others and lift others up. It is good to speak life in the life of others. Well, beloved, as I said, we're going to talk on the manifestations of strongholds tonight, and you can get a lot of good notes on this as you go back, and as I was doing myself, writing notes and things. But you know what we're going to do, jump right on in. And I hope you can hear me clearly tonight. As allergies are kind of acted up, but God is yet still in the healing business. As it says, beloved, some strongholds may be easier to identify by the manner in which they manifest themselves in a person. Oh, come on. In a person. However, others are more difficult to detect because their manifestations are not as outwardly obvious. Oh, the second type of obvious is a hidden stronghold. So guess what? It can manifest, it will manifest itself in a person, people. However, some is difficult to detect, it says, praise God. But look at here. It can be hidden. So this is what I want you to write. Number one, stronghold, the one I put on post, of anger. Anger and rage. And we are seeing a lot. I wanted to look at that. We are seeing a lot of anger these days. In this last couple of years, people are just so frustrated, so impatient, so angry. We see road rage. We see rages in stores. People are pulling guns on people. We see people have no patience, old people shooting young people because they got in their parking space, like that, or you knocked over my glass, or just because you looked at me, I looked at you crazy, and because I looked at you crazy, you shooting. I mean, all type of stuff. I can't even hardly even say it because it's so much, but that's a stronghold, beloved. Anger is a God-given emotion, though. All right? Remember that. Anger is a God-given emotion that we've all experienced at one time or another. And it's not all bad. Anger is not all bad. It's whether we channel it constructively or destructively, right? That makes the difference. Constructive, listen. Constructive anger can give us the momentum we need to detach from a harmful situation. But uncontrolled anger, and that's the one I'm talking about, is another matter altogether. Uncontrolled anger breeds hurtful words. Oh, yeah. Think about it. Resentment, even violence. Anger and violence go hand in hand, beloved, and because of their very nature, are not easily hidden. Come on. You know, people say, you make me mad, and this is what I said, because you make me mad. But that was in you. That's some harvest in you. That's something brewing in you. That's down in you. And it took a situation to cause it to rise up in you. Proverbs, write this down. Proverbs 29, verse 22 says, an angry man stirs up strife, and furious man abounds in transgression. Okay? Many families are plagued, beloved, by violence. And many times, the one who's out of control does not even realize what he's doing. You ever see little Ray Ray? Not no disrespect to anybody named Ray, but little Ray Ray, they get so mad, or little Shonda. You know, you trying to talk to them and they so angry, and you like settle down and they keep going, and you saying be quiet, and they keep going and keep going all up in the crowd, and you trying to get them away, and they snatching. I mean, crazy. Come on. Praise God. And consequently, an innocent person often becomes the victim of this stronghold, because anger is a stronghold. Unhealthy anger, destructive anger, not constructive anger. We hear constructive anger is good. Destructive anger. Ephesians, write this down. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, read, when anger, do not sin. When you're angry, it's what it said. When anger, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your aspiration, your fury, your indignation, whatever you want to call it, last until the sun goes down. Leave no room, no such room, as they say, or foothold for the devil. In other words, give him no opportunity. Don't give the devil no opportunity. If the devil's allowed to have a foothold, beloved, a stronghold can develop. Now, look, ask yourself the following question. If you got time to write them down, write them down. But if not, listen. Question, is anger part of, and be, you know what I say, Shakespeare said, to thy own self be true. Be honest, beloved. That's what that means. Is anger a part of your everyday life? Question, does my anger have an adverse effect on my relationships at home, at work, or anywhere I go? Do people got to deal with your bad attitude? I'll just put it that way. Does my anger flare up easy and often? Huh? Have you dealt with people when you say something to them, no matter what you say to them, they just get mad? They just get mad, and you see their veins all up in their neck, and then they bite their lip, and if you watch them, the vein gall in their forehead and their neck, and they ball their fists, and they, you know, come on. Anger, a stronghold, is flaring up. And then some people say, I'm not angry. Listen, watch this. You're not angry, but you're talking with anger. Your tone is angry. It's that, eh. You know, it's that person when they're talking to you, they got the eh in their voice, and they curt with it. Anger. Like you got to prove your part. You got to put some on it to get your point across. If the answer was yes to any of these questions, beloved, a stronghold may already be in place. Now, here's another stronghold, a rebellion. A stronghold of rebellion. Rebellion is another outward manifestation that is easy to identify. Here we are talking about persistent and uncontrolled acts of disobedience towards anyone in authority, including parents, teachers, employees, and so on. Now, let me stop right there. When we use the hollow rebellion, we think of children. But how many grown adults, grown folks, as we call it, adults, is full of rebellion? 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, read, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You know what witchcraft is? And stubbornness is of iniquity and idolatry. If you're stubborn and you just don't want to move and you don't want to give in and it's all about you and hollow, this is just how I am, that is iniquity and idolatry. Witchcraft is trying to conjure up something, trying to work something. Rebellion toward those in authority will cause a person to require an abnormal amount of discipline, and that person will suffer the consequences of his or her rebellion, attitude, and behavior. You know how you just going to have your way. You're stubborn. I ain't moving. I'm not going to do it. You got to speak to me first. You got to call to me first. You got to reach out to me first. Stubbornness. Rebellion. As witchcraft, iniquity, and idolatry. Don't forget that. Number three, stronghold, pride. Pride. Yes, pride. Anger, number one, if you miss it. Rebellion, number two. Now, pride. Proverbs 13 and 10 declares, by pride comes nothing but strife. Strife is connected with pride, and it will manifest contentions whenever it lifts its ugly head. Pride stinks. Proverbs 16 and 18 read, said, pride goes before destruction, you Bible scholars, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride, haughtiness, and arrogance can cause failures to many people's lives. Pride is a destructive force and comes into play when people has an overflated opinion of himself or herself. Pride is an exact opposite of humility, and humility is what pleases God. And you know how we justify pride, beloved? I know you know, because some of us jumped up and said, I'm not prideful, I'm not cocky, I'm just confidence. We mistake confidence. We call it confidence. There is a such thing as confidence, but you just better make sure your confidence is not pride in disguise, okay? The next stronghold, an uncontrolled language. Stronghold of uncontrolled language. Profanity is like a disease that a person often does not realize he or she has. Cursing is what it used to be called. and rightly so. The person who used profanity proclaimed curses with filthy words spoken about or to someone else. It's abusive language, beloved, and the violence of the stronghold permeates every level of our society. Profanity sprues forth from young and old alike, and it's unfortunately accepted as normal behavior. I know that's right. I see young men, young women walking down the street where they think they have an everyday conversation, and the profanity is just off the chain. Little kids, profanity is just off the chain, and we laugh at it. We see it in our TV, in our social media. It has become so acceptable. But what they say, we are cursing that person. And we call it, I'm going to curse you out. No, you're putting a curse. You're speaking a curse in that person's life. Remember last week we talked about spoken curses? Okay? Today is unchallenged, and it's allowed in our music, like I say, in our music, in our books, or whatever. It has even become commonplace within a family structure. Mamas don't mind their kids cursing. And then they say, oh, you say your kids curse. Well, I curse. What? Looky, looky. It's accepted in the workplace. I remember when I used to work and in my office, I heard my supervisor was cursing. And so, your curse, all right, but if I say Jesus, it's offensive. So every time you say curse, I ask Jesus. And then they talk about, you can't talk about God. Well, you can't curse over me. Mm-mm. No. Absolutely not. There are just a few of the strongholds that are outwardly manifest. That's outwardly manifested. Many, many more hidden from others. But, beloved, this is the good thing. It's not hidden from God. Some of the hidden, now let's get to the hidden. Some of the hidden strongholds are, you ready? Let's write them down if you can. Adultery, fornication, sexual perversion, porn, lying, and involvement with the occult. Oftentimes, here's another one, alcohol, drug, and gambling addictions are cleverly hidden as well. How we know? There's functioning alcoholics. There's people out at the boats and stuff gambling their money early in the middle of the day. You don't have a clue. Functioning drug addicts, on something, drug addicts in the pulpit, functioning. People adultery, fornicating. You don't see it, they hide it well. God knows, God sees, all right? Many times they are not exposed until lives and relationships are nearly destroyed. The very fabric of our society is being ripped apart by what? These strongholds. People want a solution to the problems, but the solution will only come by putting an axe to the root cause of these problems. Oh, come on, beloved. A Band-Aid simply won't do when surgery is actually what's needed. Yeah, I'll say that again. I heard somebody say it again. A Band-Aid simply won't do when surgery is actually what's needed. Why put an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff when what we really need to do is build a fence around the edge, beloved? Come on now. Come on. Stay with me. Stay with me. Not much. Not much. Familiar spirits. It's going to tie in to that which we're talking about. Keep your pen ready. Keep your devices ready. Familiar spirits may be an Old Testament term. It's because somebody may say, familiar spirits, what's that? It's an Old Testament term. But all of us have seen familiar spirits in operation in today's society. A familiar spirit can be a spirit of divination or its medium. The King James translation uses the words familiar spirit 16 times. The literal translation of the Hebrew words is knowing spirits. Following here is familiar spirits, okay? You got this? I want you to write it down if you can. Number one, a familiar spirit is an evil spirit that becomes familiar, let's catch this word, with an individual or family. it follows that person or family and knows their weaknesses physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. It knows you. Number two, a familiar spirit cannot read your mind or know your thoughts, but it does know about you. That'll mess you up. It can't read your mind or know your thoughts, but it knows you. A spirit that is familiar with you will communicate knowledge about you to those whom they serve. Not every person who has supernatural knowledge about you is of God, beloved. As we see in Acts chapter 16, write this down, 16 to 19. Let me read it to you. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit, meaning money, by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servant of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, somebody say, but, greatly annoyed, meaning he was upset, turned and said to the spirit. Look at that. He spoke to the spirit. He didn't speak to the girl. He spoke to the spirit within her. "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ." See, that's power. Come on. Power in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out that very, you got to have some power in Jesus, in the name. He didn't speak to the girl. He didn't get upset with the girl, but he recognized the spirit. We're talking about discernment. He recognized what was operating, and he spoke to it and said, "Come out in the name of Jesus." Not in the name of Paul, not in what I know, not in what I read, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus, but Jesus Christ. If someone such as a psychic, beloved, tell you things about your life and that they had no natural way of knowing, there's a good chance a familiar spirit is in operation, okay? A familiar spirit is familiar with the individual or its family sins. It knows what buttons to push on each family member. It knows every weakness and almost everything about each family member in order to influence each of them to sin. Through sin, the curse is passed on. We're talking about generation curses. A familiar spirit can be with a family for generations. As we said, generation curses. It is passed on to the future generation who also sin, which allows the same spirit to transcend through several generations. That's why we got to recognize them and cut them off. Cut them off. Like I begin to speak, you can't have my children. You can't have my grandchildren. And you can't have my great-grandchildren. And the children down through generations from that. That curse, that broke, that mama, grandmama, great-grandmama, it stops. For example, let me give it to you. Once somebody may be out here, somebody say, "Well, what are you really talking about? I don't understand what you're talking about." Let me give you an example. If your father or mother was an alcoholic or drug abuser, those evil spirits will watch you. They know how that you probably already inherited, okay, a weakness for alcohol or drugs, and they will drive you crazy. If you have children, they will be ready to attack them too. They try to get each generation involved in the same sin so they can carry the curse on and on, beloved. Huh? All right? These spirits that control the parents frequently control the children, and many times their manifestation of strongholds are much worse in the succeeding generation. Their control can grow with each passing generation. I know that I come out of a side of a family who likes to drink. I know that and stuff. And I didn't pick that habit up. I'm a social drinker. I would be a social drinker. But I don't drink until you pass out, drinking till you get drunk. I think maybe I did that twice in my teen years. I didn't see nothing with that, and that just passed over me. But I have to watch my children because I know my children like to tie one on. I can talk about me. You can't talk about masks. I can do that for you. I know they sometimes talk about, this is just too weak. This is too weak. I want stronger. I want, that's, no, I have to pray, God, in the name of Jesus, bind that. Cut that off. Don't bind it, but cut it to the root. Take the taste out of their mouth. That won't be passed down through their children and their children's children. You don't have to get wasted. You don't have to be able to. And the thing is, not always it's the stress of the world and to function when you're not even functioning. Okay? The Old Testament warns us about familiar spirit. Leviticus 19 and 31 says, give no regard to mediums. That's talking about witchcraft and sorcerers and stuff. And familiar spirit, do not seek them after them to be. Don't go to these people, fortune tellers and stuff, beloved. The Bible says don't seek them. He said, I am the Lord your God. That's Leviticus 20 and 6. And the person who turns to mediums, talk about fortune tellers and witchcraft and all that, and familiar spirits to prostitute herself, I will set my face against that person and cut you off from the people. Come on now. You don't want to do that. Seek God. God's your everything. Seek him. Seek his face. Pray. Go into the word. If you don't understand it, ask him to give you understanding. The Holy Spirit come and lead and guide you in all truth. Okay? Many people consult these mediums and clairvoyants and spirit to gain knowledge about the future. And they think they're receiving information from the spirit of loved ones. Come on. And from the spirit of a person who has passed from life to death. One cannot call up a spirit of a deceased person. No one can do that except Jesus Christ himself. That spirit has been conjured up by someone in occult practice. Oh, my God. It's evil. It's a lying spirit. It may know things about the past, but it cannot predict the future, beloved. It may know things about you and your circumstances, but it's what a familiar spirit is all about. It will give you enough truth to hook you into thinking it is good and then fill you with lies to destroy you. There is no such thing as good familiar spirit. Okay? Praise God. Nothing. You can pull down strongholds. I ain't got but a few minutes. Oh, my God. I might have to pick up next week. Pulling down strongholds. When Jesus died on Calvary, he not only died for our sin, he also redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus became the curse, beloved, so we might be blessed. We do not have to live under or accept the curse imposed by our own sin or sins of our ancestors, me, our family, down through the years, or evil words spoken over us. Who anybody trying to do this? We can and must use the power of the blood. The blood still works, which was the shedding of Jesus Christ. We are the house, the temple of the Holy Spirit. If the enemy has entered your house and setting up shop and seemingly is free ring in your life, you must identify the source of the open door. And remember this, that the stronghold is an area in your life where the enemy has established a dwelling place. As born again Christians, you must identify the opening. Beloved, I got to cut off there. My time is up. I want to go into the identifying, but if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, wherever you are right now, repent, confess your sin, ask him to come in to wash you with his blood and become the Lord over your house. You don't have to have these strongholds, beloved. Pull them down. Every wicked imagination, pull them down. We thank God for you, and we just pray blessing upon your life. Be blessed and a blessing. God bless you. God bless you. cover yourself in the blood. Cover your home in the blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.